Welcome to the Digital Marketing Insights Podcast, brought to you by Brightside Digital.
Hi everyone, welcome to the show. I'm delighted to say today we have Molly, a digital marketing executive. Molly, how are you doing today?
I'm very well, thanks for having me on the show.
You're very welcome, Molly. Molly, to start off the show, can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself, please?
Yeah, so I'm based down here in the Rebel County. So I've been working in digital marketing for just about 5 years now. So I've been working in kind of a range of different environments, from an e-commerce company to an agency, currently working in-house with the company. And I've also done some freelancing. So kind of a nice range and breadth of experience there. So at the moment, I'm working in-house for a recruitment company in Cork City called Berkeley Recruitment. So I've been there about 2 years. It's quite a broad role, so covering a lot of different things, you know, social, SEO, website management. You know how it is when you're in-house, you know, you do a little bit of everything.
Of course.
So that's me.
And Molly, what would you say is your main strength in digital at the moment?
Yeah, so I would say it's probably SEO content writing. So prior to my current role, I was with an SEO agency based in Cork City. And it was kind of a very production line approach to SEO. So I worked alongside a technical SEO person, designers, web devs, and my role was content writing. And I kind of came away from that role with a real passion for content writing. So it's something I really enjoy doing, you know, from the whole life cycle of it, you know, from forming your strategy right down to creating, researching the pieces, distributing it, and then monitoring it, you know, watching your analytics and that. So it's something I really enjoy doing. I love the process. I love seeing the results. And yeah, it's just something that's really enjoyable for me.
Absolutely love it. And do you have a process when you're producing content? Can you walk through your process, please?
Yeah, so for me, it's not particularly original, but it's all about keywords. So one of the benefits of working in a smaller business with a smaller team is you have a lot of freedom. So if you come across, you know, a good keyword that is relevant to your company, that isn't too hotly contested over on the SERP, it's, you know, a good opportunity to create a bit of content around it, develop it out. So I would do my research, create a piece usually of at least 15 to 2000 words, write it, publish it, get the people in the business to contribute to it a little bit, make sure that, you know, it rings true. Because of course, when you're writing content, especially if it's not an area of expertise for yourself, it's really important that you do get people who are experts to vet it and make sure it's representing their business in a way they think is accurate. So from there, you know, uploading it. And then that's only half the battle. So the rest of it is distribution. So I'm a very strong believer in that mantra, create once, distribute forever. So I would have my little checklist, making sure, is it going out on socials? Is it on Google My Business? Have I syndicated it on, you know, Medium, and then coming back to it in, let's say, 6 months or so, have I something new to add? Are there new statistics? Perhaps it's a little bit outdated. There are some news stories that could be incorporated into the piece, and then repurposing it. So what would this look like as an infographic? Could it be a poll? Could it be a Twitter thread? And just chopping and changing the piece to get as much value out of it as possible.
Absolutely love that. Is it all right if we work backwards and put all those touch points? So in terms of distribution, you mentioned Medium and you mentioned checking out the socials and return to the piece. So in terms of distribution, is that all the channels you use? Do you have like a little checklist of what you do every time?
I do, yeah. So it's probably a little bit rudimentary, but I just have a nice little Google sheet. So I have it divided up to the day of publication, a week after publication, you know, making sure I'm hitting all my points, not just in terms of distribution, but making sure there's an image for social attached to it. It's gone up. There's a little annotation on Google Analytics. So really breaking it down bit by bit. And I found that kind of being more systematic about it and having my processes in place, that nothing gets overlooked. And again, that helps to ensure that you're getting as much possible value out of each little piece of content as it goes live.
That's brilliant. And yeah, I completely see that you're going the extra mile, which I'm sure you're getting the benefits of as well. Do you find, do you ever actively look for new distribution channels as well? Like, obviously, the big ones are like Google News and those kind of news sites, but do you look for those kind of things as well?
Absolutely, yeah. Like, as I said, you know, because I'm not working with an enormous team or in an enormous business, you know, there's a lot of scope to experiment and try things out. So, like, we're always trying things out at Berkeley. So, as you mentioned, Google News, we've just applied to have our blog go up on that. We're trying out Reddit ads. So if something catches our team's attention, we can just go in and give it a go and see if it works. We don't have to ask permission from a lot of different people. We can just go for it and see.
Brilliant. And stepping back into the content itself, we'll take for granted you've identified your keywords and you're producing pieces around those keywords, but do you have any techniques or tips that you could give our listeners that might be producing content in their line of work that would help them out as well?
Yeah, so I suppose in my previous role, just for a bit of context, you know, I was producing content for almost 30 different businesses, and it was a huge variety there, from, you know, interior design companies to shed sellers to you know, kind of universities. So a huge variety of content, and you're not going to have an in-depth knowledge about those things. So as a content writer, it's important to have your little techniques for finding out topics that are of interest, that are relevant, that are newsworthy. So there are a few different tools you can use. So number one is always going to be Google. You know, give yourself half an hour or so, look up your basic search terms, and then scroll down to people also ask and related searches. Those can be a gold mine. There are some other tools that you can use. So a big one would be Answer the Public. So again, you pop in your search term, and what it does is what's that poem? It has its six honest serving men. So it looks at your who, what, where, when, why, and it kind of offers you loads of different questions and angles on that topic. Again, BuzzSumo is a useful one. So that's less so looking at your search engines and more looking at what content is trending on social media. So let's say I want to find out about yoga. You could search yoga on BuzzSumo and it'll give you the top infographics relating to yoga, the top how-to articles. So that's a very useful tool. And then good old Twitter and Reddit for me are also big sources of content if you're looking for something a little bit more crowdsourced.
Brilliant. And with your Twitter and Reddit, I'm assuming you kind of you create your accounts by following interest in that particular industry or subject. And so you're always keeping an eye on that for content ideas as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, those follow functions are really good and really interesting. And in particular in Reddit, the ability to find communities based on any topic, no matter how niche, and then being able to go into that topic and sort by, you know, most popular post ever, most popular post that month. So it allows you to get an almost insider's view on topics that you mightn't necessarily be familiar with by seeing, okay, what are real people interested in this area actually talking about right now? So again, really, really valuable source of content ideas there.
That's so clever. Yeah, brilliant, brilliant stuff, Molly. And you've already touched on the keyword side of things, but then once you've done all your factors you've been through, what is the results? How do you define your results, and what are you always striving for to bet yourself in this area?
Yeah, so I guess number one, and it's something, you know, when you are very interested in numbers, you kind of forget that the most important thing is this content useful, helpful, practical, and relevant for our audience? So that's always the main thing. You know, you could have a piece of content that's pulling in an awful lot of traffic and bringing a lot of organic eyes to your website. But if it's not relevant, and if at the end of the day the information is useless, then, you know, what value is it to your company? So obviously that's number one, you know, providing value to the customer, to the end user. Number two is, you know, I suppose a bit shallow, but it does make my heart sing when I see a piece of content is, you know, going up the SERP, is pulling in traffic. So I'd be looking at landing page views. And then, of course, tied into that, your bounce rate, you know, making sure, well, okay, yes, it's pulling in people, but are they engaged? Are they reading? How long are they staying on the page? Or are they heading straight off?
Brilliant. And do you find you have an input in the UX of the site to get people reading more content once they land as well? Is that part of the battle?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, first off, you don't want a big, long wall of text because that's very, very off-putting. So we will work hard to make sure that the design of the website is very engaging. It's polished. It's professional. So number one, there is a trust element to it. You know, if you have a good looking website, people are more likely to trust you. But then, OK, so they're on the website. But how do you further add to that credibility? It's a quality of your content. So number one, spelling and grammar, a bit boring. But then, you know, what are you saying? How are you saying? Is it interesting? Is it unique? Does it have a point of view? So that's kind of the content side. But then sprucing it up a little, you know, with your buttons, your imagery. And again, making sure it's all tied and consistent with the look of the website to ensure that high standard when it comes to visuals. So again, fortunately, we have a small team, so it's just the two of us. So if we want to make a change to the website, try out something new with the UX, we absolutely can, and it's an easy decision to make. So yeah, we're always experimenting, always trying new things.
Love that. And in terms of the presenting of the page, do you find you have to source imagery and then you kind of brand it? Do you use infographics? Is that what you mean by presentation on the page? So you're actively writing content and then sprucing it up with kind of those kind of things?
Yeah, I mean, it's for me, it's about variety. So number one, you've got your buttons and you're getting your internal links. As an SEO person, that's really important to me. That's like number one. Then you've got your visuals. So that could potentially be, you know, an image or something you've cobbled together yourself on Photoshop or Canva. I actually find diagrams have been performing really well for us on Google Images, and have like our best performing posts tend to have diagrams that we've created ourselves. Also videos, GIFs, TikToks even, more so now. But yeah, just making sure that there's relevant, you know, visual markers breaking up what could potentially be, you know, a couple of thousand words of text. Just keep the user engaged, keep their eyes open so they don't drift off halfway through reading your piece.
Brilliant. And to step away from your kind of content creation, is there anything that you're interested in upskilling to maybe enhance your role in what you're doing at the moment?
Yeah. So, gosh, there's, I suppose one of the big challenges of marketing, and in particular digital marketing, is that it's a very new field, you know, compared to other areas. So that means that there's constant innovation, new things are always coming on stream. So it can be difficult to figure out where you want to upskill. It's something I definitely have found challenging. It's kind of wading through all the options. So for me, I think the areas I really want to focus on are the analytics and tech side. So, you know, Google is releasing or in the process of rolling out GA4 at the moment, which when you're used to the universal analytics is absolutely terrifying. So just really learning to get stuck into that and living in a world without cookies. And then, of course, down the line, maybe learning to do our own dashboards and using those tools, because analytics is only going to become more and more important as the years go on. And I think it's going to be a major skill set for marketers who do want to, you know, future-proof their careers.
Exactly. And looking at the digital industry in a larger sense, is there anything that you're looking into that you think will change the industry for the better coming down the line?
Yeah, so I suppose it's not hugely original, but everyone is talking about, you know, the phasing out of third-party cookies and what that's going to mean for the web. So first off, I mean, it's great because, you know, it's all about making sure that people have greater privacy online, and I'm all for that. But learning to live in a world without retargeting is going to be an adjustment. But I do think one of the kind of offshoots of that is going to be that companies are really going to have to invest a lot of time and effort into their content marketing and focus on becoming less of a company, less of an advertiser, and more of like a media company. So I'm really interested to see when businesses are forced to kind of invest more in content marketing, what is that going to look like maybe 4 or 5 years down the line? So yeah, it'd be interesting to see where that goes.
Really well said. And we always ask the same question on the podcast, Molly, which is, if you could take your personality trait of yourself and boil it up and pass it on to others, what would that be?
Yeah, so this one's a bit of a tricky one. So I was thinking about it more so in the fact that, like, what is a lesson I have learned in my career that I would love to pass on to everyone and anyone? And for me, the big one is like learning how to communicate. So in my previous job, I worked with an offshore team. So we were contending with a geographical barrier, time barrier, and a little bit of a language barrier as well. So early into that role, I realized the importance of being able to communicate ideas in detail in a way that is very, very clear. And it basically all boils down to assuming the other person knows nothing. And you might worry that it kind of comes across as a little bit condescending, but honestly, like, in my dealings with people over the years, I kind of do wish people would assume I know nothing at the outset, because taking that extra 5 minutes to craft an email or make that call or, you know, send that link, it can save hours and hours down the line. So definitely learning how to communicate in a way that is empathetic to the other person, that you put yourself in their shoes and you think, okay, well, what questions might they have about this project? And kind of anticipating their needs, their questions, and using that within your communications.
What a perfect way to end the show. Molly, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And yeah, I cannot wait to get your podcast out there.
Oh, thanks a million.